Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Full show today. Joy Lee McNellis is going to be joining us from the state of Virginia a little later in the show. Patrick McGee from down in New Orleans, and we're about to introduce a real friend of the show. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, and we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, we're very proud of a lot of the friendships we've made through the years on the Eagle Hour, but high on that list is a former Southern Miss and North Carolina head football coach, Larry Fedora, who has been on our show numerous times, and we're happy to say he's back on the show today. Happy New Year, Coach Fedora, and thank you for coming back on the program.
Man, I am fired up to be here, and Happy New Year to you guys.
So you bagged a 10-point this weekend, huh?
I did. Well, not this weekend, during the week. I mean, okay. I can go hunting during the week now. I don't have to wait till the weekend. Every day's the weekend for me.
There we go. God, that sounds good.
And why the heck would he ever want to get back into this mess of college football now?
Yeah,
right?
And, Coach, that's the reason we wanted to call you today. We want to get your we'd like to get your take on the controversy that surrounded the national playoffs, your thoughts about the upcoming game, and I'm gonna just go ahead and give us that first, and then I'll get to the second question. But what did you think about the controversy surrounding Florida State, and what do you think now about the way things are playing out?
Well, I think anytime you've got a four team playoff, I mean it's somebody's going to get left out, and we all know that probably Florida State and Georgia were both deserving to all be in the playoffs. That both of them were. And it's unfortunate the way Florida State's season played out at the end, especially with the quarterback going down. But they overcame it, and it's a shame it happened the way it did. But, somebody's going to get left out, and they and Georgia both got left out, and it is what it is. I think, you saw both games this past weekend or Monday night, and both of them were great games. I mean, they both came down to the very last play of the game, so I'm sure the committee feels like they probably did a pretty good job.
Is Michigan the best football team in the country this year, Coach?
I tell you what, the few times that I've seen them and then the way they played against Alabama, I mean, they are a complete team. I would say, they've got to get their special teams straightened out. I mean, they had some problems against Alabama with the special teams, but they get that straightened out. I mean, they're dominant on defense. They can do enough offensively to win games, and they're pretty dang good from top to bottom, Now, I will say, Michael Penix, that guy's pretty special. I mean, they're pretty special. Washington can score some points. It's going to be whether or not Washington's defense can hold up, I think.
All right, I know the guys have things they want to get to you about, but I want to ask you this real quick. Kelly and I were kind of picking at you. We see your name pop up all the time on Eagle Post. If somebody needs to call Larry Fedora, blah, blah, blah. Coach, you've expressed to us that with the NIL deals and the transfer portal is totally out of control as it is, you have no interest in coaching in college football.
Yeah, I really don't. And it's a shame because I love the sport. It's been my life. I spent 37, 38 years doing it. And got into it for a certain reason, and that was to help develop young men into full-grown men and be productive in society. And I think the game has gotten away from that, and now it's all about money. That's all it is. And so, until they find a way to reel this thing back, which I think they're going to have a hard time doing, to me, it's just a train wreck. And right now, I'm not against these players, you know, making some money. I'm not. But, you know, there's a lot of cases out there where you've got numerous players making more money than anybody else on campus. I mean, including the chancellors. So it's it's kind of crazy and it's out of control right now.
Coach, if you ever did want to get back into football, and I don't know that we've ever asked you this, you're obviously articulate. You've coached at the highest level. I know your wife thinks you're pretty decent looking. I mean,
she's the only one.
have you ever been approached by any of the networks about maybe doing some analyst work, and would that interest you at all?
You know, I have, and when those approaches came, the timing wasn't right, you know, and so I don't know. It would be something that I would consider, you know. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, I can tell you that, and so it would have to be a pretty good situation for me to change.
Yeah, but now that the deer in Texas know that you've got time on your hands, I think they're fleeing as we speak. So there may not be many left out there, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, there's plenty of deer.
Yeah, especially in Texas. Coach, I was talking to you off air. One of your former offensive linemen, Jonathan Gary, he was reliving with me today his recruiting story. He said that when you offered him out of New Hope High School, you put a jersey with his number on the coffee table. You had the Conference USA championships from Southern Miss, and you told him, you said, other schools want you. We need you at Southern Miss. And I ask you that. You had some great recruiting classes. Back to what Bob asked you. I mean, within the coaching fraternity, how have guys had to change their recruiting philosophy now?
Yeah, you couldn't do that now. And you know, back then we were trying to recruit against as many of the big boys as possible. And so, yeah, they were wanted by those schools. But, you know, we needed them. We needed them to be great. And we got a lot of those kids. You know, Will can't do that nowadays. I mean, Will's, you know, you get it's strictly about NIL money. I mean, I would imagine Will's got to raise about $1 million to $1.5 million to be, you know, to have a chance of holding on to his guys and you know, just producing more guys, because I think what's happened is the group of five schools now have become, they're kind of a farm system for the Power Five. You know, and as soon as they develop a player, you know, I mean, then that player's jumping in the portal and going to the Power Five because he's making good money. You can't blame the kid. It's just the way the system works now. You know, you got a lot less high school players being recruited by your Power Five schools because they're taking transfers. So your group of five schools are getting better players. Therefore, and then those guys are, you know, developing and they're getting better, and then they're off to back to the Power Five when they make money.
And we heard the counter argument to that. Well, coaches have always been doing that. Coaches have always, you know, been getting bigger contracts. I mean, is that a really fair argument for college football to turn into like the Wild West and free agency though?
I don't know if that's a fair argument or not. That's the argument that everybody makes. I do think that if you go back and look at coaches' contracts, first of all, they have contracts, all right? And then second of all, there are buyouts in those contracts that they have to pay if they leave, you know, so the school is receiving something in return. You know, right now you have nothing. You have total free agency every single year. You have the transfer portal opening up during team seasons. I mean, coaches, they have no way of managing their roster right now. Believe me, it's a major headache for them.
Coach Fedora, you shared the same position at one time, you know, at different times, of course, than Todd Monken did. You were both OCs at Oklahoma State. You were both head coaches at Southern Miss. Coach Monken has gone on to win two natties at Georgia. The Ravens, where he's the offensive coordinator now in the NFL, they, in my opinion, they're the team to beat in the NFL. This guy is really quite a coach, isn't he?
Oh, there's no doubt. Monken can coach now. He can coach him up, and he's been doing that for many, many years. I mean, he's a good football coach. Obviously, the job he did there at Southern Miss and getting that thing back turned around, you know, and it just as unfortunate, he had an opportunity to go to the NFL, and he did, you know. And so, I mean, you can't take anything away from what he does. He's a hell of a football coach.
Yeah. And I would think he'd be on a lot of lists for an NFL opening, any head coaching positions.
You know, the way that the way those 32 teams work, I'm sure that he will be. I don't think there's any doubt that we will see him be a head coach in the NFL pretty soon.
All right, Coach, we've got a minute left. Break down the national championship game for us Monday night. What do you look for, and are you ready to pick a winner?
Well, I don't know if I can pick a winner, but I can tell you this. Michigan's really good from top to bottom. Now, they'll get their special team straightened out this week, I'm sure. I mean, if you watch the amount of sacks that they had on Alabama, especially in the first half, I mean, they just dominated the front. And if they do that, they're going to make it very difficult for Washington. But I will say, again, Michael Penix, he's pretty special. I mean, yeah. How he didn't win the Heisman, I have no idea. I mean, the LSU could have won. Well, they could have won eight games without their quarterback. But I can promise you, you know, Washington would not have been undefeated without Michael Penix.
No, there's really no question.
And Coach, I think your dog just spotted another 10-point out back.
Yeah, he might have. Yeah, he hunts with me, actually.
Hey, Coach, always a pleasure having you on the show, and we're really grateful that you're always willing to come on when we reach out to you. And Happy New Year to you. And if you do decide to come back to Southern Miss, let us know first. Can you do that, Coach?
I will do that. And listen, I hope you guys can get college football straightened out soon. I mean, it's always been, you know, I mean, arguably the greatest sport in our country. And, you know, I hate to see it in the shape that it is right now.
No question, Coach. Thank you, Coach, and a Happy New Year to you and your family.
All right, guys. Y'all take care.
All right. Coach Larry Fedora, everybody. And he doesn't need any introduction.
Well, when you're tight like we are with him, we just call him L-Fed. You know? Yeah.
Well, we call Joy Lee McNellis Coach McNellis. Sometimes we call her Joy Lee, but we're scheduled to talk to her next.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, this segment of the show is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen down there on Hardy Street opens 7 days a week. Be sure to tell her buddies on the Eagle Hour said hello, one of our favorite people. And speaking of that, here's another one on the show today. Joy Lee McNellis, head basketball coach, coming to us from Norfolk, Virginia, as the Lady Eagles get ready to take on Old Dominion tomorrow afternoon. All right, Coach, thanks for I know you guys are leaving for practice here soon, but thanks for the time. Start out 7-0, beat nationally ranked Ole Miss, which just was a tremendous afternoon. Since then, you've lost 5. And what is the difference, Coach? What's happened between the first 7 and the second 5?
Right. You know, I think the biggest thing is, now, in the month of December, playing at Memphis, Cleveland State, and then playing Florida Gulf Coast, those three teams are very different teams. And I think the game we should have won was the game at Memphis. Playing Cleveland State and Florida Gulf Coast, there's a mid-major poll, and they were ahead of us. The things that we're – our defense is awful right now. Let's just tell the truth, okay? It's awful. We have struggled to defend – teams that can drive it and shoot it. Like Ole Miss, they are not great shooters. So we're able to play off of them, we're able to defend them. And when we played teams like Cleveland State, where they play 5 out, Florida Gulf Coast plays 5 out, it is a struggle for us to be able to guard both. And again, that's what happened at Marshall. They shot the cover off of it, the highest percentage they shot from three-point range all year. You know, then we go to Coastal, and there are two players on their team that has not made a three all year. We're playing them for the drive. Bingo. They step up and make three balls. And that's been our issue.
Right.
You know, I like to press. We've been able to press limited because of creating rotations to be able to get to shooters. And that's been the deal, to be very honest with you. Mm-hmm. We have got to get better and be tougher. I'm really disappointed in our toughness. I think that's been the challenge, is that aspect of it.
Right. Luke, this is what you said yesterday, and this is what you said Coach would say, defense.
Yeah, Coach,
yeah,
we were just
Luke,
looking
and
at
– you were right.
I hate to be right and when it's like that. But, yeah, we're just looking at the points given up. But one thing that jumped out to me against Coastal was you got out-rebounded, like, big time. You know,
your ladies had
less than 30 rebounds. Is there a specific reason for that? Because, I mean, you did out-rebound Marshall, but, I mean, the other night, what was it?
I mean, Coastal out-rebounded is 41-25, and they had double offensive rebounds than what we had. And so you're right. And that was extremely frustrating, I will tell you. It was because we feel like, and my philosophy is, if you limit second chance points, that means giving up offensive rebounds, and you control the overall glass. I think when you go on the road, you've got to out-rebound people by 10. At home, you've got to at least out-rebound people by 5. And then defensively, you got to do your dang job to keep them. I mean, we were holding opponents, you know, to 68, to 65, and now we give up 80-something, 90-something points.
Yeah.
We've just got to, you know, we've had talks. We've had meetings with our players, individual meetings, and so we've tried to talk through some stuff defensively. You know, we've penalized them more defensively, trying to just to get them mentally back on track that defense and rebounds going to win for you.
Yep.
Offense will come, but defense and rebounds got to win for you.
Let me ask you about two players specifically. Morgan Siepert started off so hot, been held a little bit, and, you know, she's trying to get through her first season. And then, but talk also about Brekayla Gray, how excited you are for her to be back on the court after missing all of last year.
You know, she's just solid as a rock, Brekayla. You know, she brings that level of intensity. She's just tough. When you talk about toughness, that's what you think about, is Brekayla Gray. You know, she's going to defend. You know, because we've had to play her at different positions, sometimes she doesn't rebound as well as we would like her to. But I'm going to tell you, she's a game changer for us. If we would have had her on our team last year, I think we would have won at least 4 more games. You know, having her on the team this year is a difference maker. And I'll be honest with you, Brekayla's that young lady. She's frustrated defensively of how we're playing. And I actually had a talk with her yesterday on our bus trip coming from Coastal, headed down this way, the importance of defending. You know, and, you know, she says, Coach, I'm just as frustrated as you are. And, you know, she's that kind of kid that will take ownership, will take accountability, will take responsibility. And that's what I think makes her special. Morgan Sieper, yes, she started off hot because she was a no-name. No one knew who she was. And now you've got people that's not leaving her. You know, we were watching the Coastal game, and here they're shaded to Morgan, and they're totally face guarding Dom. And that's what's happened. So 3 other players have got to do their job. And so they do their job. Now they're going to have to help off Morgan. And, you know, we're trying to run her off flares. They're doing a great job coming off flares. You know, and, you know, we're playing her now solid at the 4 because we feel like the 4 players have struggled in getting out and guarding. But the teams that we have played thus far is their 4 players are all 4 guards. And so that's a game changer. That's just different. And so I just think that's why Sieper has really cooled off.
Coach McNellis, you've mentioned in the past that the toughest thing for young athletes coming from the high school level to the D1 level is their inability to play defense because it wasn't really coached that well.
Correct.
At the high school
Correct,
level.
Kelly.
So with that being said, why, and this is speculative on your part, but why aren't high school coaches teaching a better style of defense if their job is to help these young women get to the next level?
I think people focus so much offensively, and a lot of coaches play zone because a lot of high school kids can't shoot the ball very well. And so I think that is the biggest thing. And they can play zone and win games because you can get rebounds, miss shots, and go the other end of the floor. And I will tell you, defensively, it is something that, like, help the helper. That was one of the things Brekayla Gray said yesterday. Coach, I think one of our issues is help the helper. So when the help side defense helps over the last drop that you have to make on the rotation, we miss that drop. We miss that drop. Even with our players that's been with us, and we have to drill that to be able to get in there to make that happen.
Now, you mentioned in this interview as well that, the team's overall toughness you're a little bit concerned about. But I'm concerned that you're basing your assessment on how tough you are with some of the things that look, and us guys have even talked about what a tough old bird you are, you know, from some of the things that you've had to go through.
I didn't call you an old bird, Coach.
I didn't call you an old bird either, Coach. That's Kelly Santa.
Call me an old bird. That's okay. Y'all call me an old bird.
No, that's a term of endearment, in my opinion. But the new age athlete is what I wanted to ask you about.
Right.
Overall, the game stays the same. Athletes, I think, are as athletic as they used to be. But generally speaking, are kids as tough as they used to be?
No, they're not. No, they're not.
Take you long to answer that one.
No, that was pretty emphatic.
No. I mean, soft. Players are soft. You can't challenge them the way you would challenge before. You know, they are. You know, we have a couple on our team that would knock somebody's head off. But I will tell you, 11 of them won't. You know,
you guys
nice
noticed the Lady Mustang, Berkayla Gray, is one of those that she said.
That's right.
From West Jones, of course.
Exactly right.
I'm guessing the other one is Dom Davis.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
We were watching a game earlier this year, and I forget who you were playing, and it was a team from up north, and they got to struggling, and they threw Dom to the floor, and it kind of yaw-yawed a little bit. And my wife looked at me and said, "That kid has no idea that she's fooling with a Louisiana girl. I'd leave her alone."
That's right.
Well, Coach, Old Dominion, real quick, got about 45 seconds. What do you look for there?
Well, you know, they're very athletic. They're the first team that we will play two straight-up post players. Last night they lost to Louisiana Lafayette at the buzzer, and that's been really tough. It's been really tough. That's a tough loss for them. However, I really believe that they're going to be angrier than ever because that's a game they shouldn't lose. They lost that game at home. But they're a very good basketball team. They're very athletic. I think, personally, they're the toughest team in the league. Mm. And so that's going to be a real challenge for us.
Yep. Well, we wish you nothing but the best of luck, Coach. You know we love you on this show, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Okay, thank you, guys. Y'all have a happy new year.
All right, same to
you. She's a young bird.
Yes.
Young bird.
Joy Lee McDellis. There's only one of her.
Young Golden Eagle.
Yeah. Old bird. Is that
tough,
what she said?
Tough old bird.
Well, what does she see you next?
As long as she doesn't send Dom Davis on him.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of our program. We appreciate all they do and encourage you to go down there this weekend. Catch a big game and enjoy some good food and camaraderie at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also, Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road, and coming now very soon, the all-new Genesis showroom, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. I want to thank Joy Lee McDellis for joining us from Norfolk, Virginia, and Larry Fedora from Central Texas. And now we go down to New Orleans. And first of all, we want to say a belated happy birthday to the Professor Patrick McGee. Birthday yesterday, correct, Patrick?
Yeah, I work on it, kind of keep the celebration. You know how in New Orleans you don't stop the celebration on one day, you keep it going. We're going to go to the Pelicans game tonight, and then we're going to do brunch on Saturday morning.
Yeah,
so we're doing it right.
In New Orleans, it's always best to keep moving because that's the way Lincoln got it, right? Sitting still.
Right.
Hey, what brunch spot in Uptown? You going Uptown?
Yeah. Someplace I've never. It's actually in the Garden District, Beggar's Banquet. I've never been.
Ooh, so ooh, ooh.
Try wow, man. Sounds well, good. Patrick's living a good life, though.
How old, Patrick?
I turned 45.
No, you're a pup. You're young. Yeah. All right, Patrick. Here's the question of the day. Do Luke's New Orleans Saints make the playoffs?
I would lean towards no. You know, I think I told you before we went on air, I give the Saints about a 1-in-3 shot to getting in, and that's not bad. There's the two scenarios, the Saints coming to NFC South by beating the Falcons, and then but the Buccaneers would have to lose to the Panthers, and that seems unlikely. But there's also the chance that the Saints could get the wild card, which actually I think has a slightly better chance of happening. The Saints obviously have to win, and they need the Cardinals to beat the Seahawks, and they need the Bears to beat the Packers. So, you know, it can happen, but, you know, I would lean no at this point.
Yeah, I might get a date with Julia Roberts, too.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Cardinals don't beat the Seahawks.
Right.
But that's just my opinion. So,
yeah, I mean, the Cardinals pulled off an upset.
Well, they did. And the Bears right now are, I think, playing pretty well.
And the Cardinals beat the Steelers earlier this year, too.
Yeah.
All
right, Patrick, here's question number two for me. Has the new quarterback for the Saints been a success or a flop?
Well, I think it's a little bit somewhere in between. He has played fairly well, I think, late in the season. I think kind of reading between the lines, it sounds like Carr is finally moving towards being healthy. He took a lot of really hard hits this season, and they weren't all that productive as an offense early on in the season, but I thought Carr looked okay. You know, hitting some deep passes and kind of coming through in the clutch the first two wins of the season. But whenever he took that hit against Green Bay and had to leave the game, that's whenever he saw him just not quite be the consistent guy that they need there at quarterback. So he had kind of – there are different stages to the season, and I think the last 2 to 3 weeks he has played well. But, no, I mean, he's not what they needed. I told Luke last week they just needed Derek Carr to be better than – Andy Dalton from a year ago, and he's maybe only marginally been better. I mean, he just hasn't been quite what they need. This, you know, they need to win 10 games to win the division. I kind of predicted a 10-17, you know, looking at probably a 9-8 season. So the margin for error is very small in this NFL, and that's just it. It just hasn't quite been good enough.
Luke, this is not good news for you. 1-in-3 chances of the Saints making the playoffs.
We were joking last week about basically Derek Carr being a more expensive Andy Dalton. He has thrown for 800 more yards this season, but only 3 more touchdowns, 1 less interception. And, you know, we were joking last week about Andy Dalton and Kelly as a former Bengals player. Andy Dalton, or as a Bengals fan, he was a former Bengals quarterback.
Right.
Andy Dalton is like one of the most not respected – like he's one of those guys you always knew what you were going to get. And you could, you know, like live with it. And it just seems as if the Saints, you know, spent a lot of money on this. Patrick, Kamara, though, did I read this wrong? He went over 10,000 yards from scrimmage in the last week?
Yeah, I believe that's right. He's his mark. Whether he plays this week is kind of up in the air at the moment.
You think?
But yeah. I mean, right. Honestly, I was out yesterday on my birthday. I didn't check in, see where things stood for him. He was out of practice on Wednesday.
So, I mean, they have to go for broke this week. Do you feel like – okay, do you answer this in a couple ways. Do you think the players really feel like they're going to go for broke? The fans obviously probably wouldn't care whether people went for broke this weekend and tried to beat –
Right. No, I think what you saw last week against Tampa, I think you'll see a motivated team. Back out there, Dennis Allen kind of challenged their toughness, made them go out there in pads last week, and they kind of responded. So I think we'll see a much better Saints team in this Falcons game than we saw previously.
But fan base?
Fan base? I mean, a lot of those guys are indifferent, you know. They're just as happy to see the Saints lose and move up in the draft pick. I mean, they really want to see a reboot across the board. I think everybody kind of expects them to move on from Pete Carmichael, offensive coordinator this season. There's not going to be any drastic changes on the staff. But there's a lot of discontent, just unease where the franchise stands right now.
Last question for me here. if something were to happen and Jaden Daniels would somehow be available, do you think they would trade up and make that happen?
I don't know. From what I hear, is they like Michael Penix.
I do too.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the Saints. The Saints do like Michael Penix, from what I've heard. So I think maybe if Penix is back there, if they think that they can get him around that point of the draft. I'm not saying they're going to draft quarterback, but they might actually be happy staying with that because they think Penix would come back to them.
All right, so if the 1-3 shot is what you give them, Patrick, which obviously means two-thirds that they won't, all right, you think that the coaching staff is, other than Carmichael, safe, all right, so then what has to happen? Let's get ahead of the curve draft-wise. Who are the main free agent losses that the Saints are going to suffer, and do they try to, you know, fill some of those and so on?
Well, I mean, I don't expect Michael Thomas to be around next year. I don't see why they would go back and invest in him. He kind of created another little bit of a fuss late in the season. He's never been the easiest guy to have on the team. I would expect they move on from him and try to find a young receiver or somebody they can get maybe somewhat young in free agency. I don't see any drastic changes, to be honest, personnel-wise on this team. I think we're going to see a lot of the same characters. I think we'll see pretty significant changes on the offensive line. That's one area I do see changes coming, but they kind of addressed the interior of the defensive line. Some other areas, as long as DeMario Davis decides to come back, at 34 years old, still playing at a high level. We'll see, but I don't see drastic personnel changes. I think that's where a lot of Saints fans are anxious, to see a youth movement. But going into next year, I don't see anything drastic. They just have to really hit it out of the park in the draft.
Well, if that indeed turns out to be the case, and not that this has ever been a problem, but wouldn't that make for a tougher season ticket sell next year?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody's kind of acknowledging, this was a big year. To get into the playoffs and try to make some noise, and they've just been that mediocre squad throughout. So yeah, it will be. It's going to be a tough off season if this team doesn't have some luck go their way this week and potentially in the weeks ahead. It's going to be tough.
But you're absolutely convinced that Dennis Allen's safe?
Yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere.
So he'll come back. No, Todd Monken to New Orleans. Is that what we're hearing, Patrick? Todd Monken's not coming to New Orleans.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be the next offensive coordinator either. No, I don't expect Todd Monken to end up in New Orleans.
All right, Patrick, you do this for a living. We got about 90 seconds left. I want you to play out the NFL playoffs in your mind, and who do you think, when it's all settled, we see in the championship games?
I think this is this is Baltimore's year. I mean, you just saw what they did to the 49ers, and Lamar has really just owned if they get into the Super Bowl, he has owned the NFC throughout his career. I think it's, 20-1 or something along, 20-3, something like that, against NFC teams. They look too good right now not to be that team. They beat the heck out of the Dolphins. And on the NFC side, the Eagles haven't been great late. I still think the 49ers probably get in. And that they will lose to the Ravens again.
I think that's I wouldn't have any argument with that. San Francisco and Baltimore in the
Super Bowl. Great, absolutely great Super Bowl. Yeah. The most important question, though, guys, I've looked up the menu at Beggar's Banquet for the breakfast brunch.
Oh, here
okay?
we go. All right.
Grilled banana bread is a starter with maple bacon butter. Stuffed French toast, banana Foster's French toast. They actually have boneless short ribs with eggs and an English muffin, or two eggs, a grilled hanger steak, hash browns, and a buttermilk biscuit. Patrick, you got a lot of choices.
And that's just the appetizers.
My blood pressure is just going to go through.
Would you like for the three of us to join you and your lady friend for brunch Sunday, Patrick? Just give us the word.
Well, we've got a table late. I don't know if we could add three more. That would be tough to do.
I think we just got told no, guys. That's what I think.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, right. Professor.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk
to you
next week.
Happy New Year. Bye-bye.
Patrick McGee, everybody, from NOLA.com. We just had a show full of friends today.
Like that's the first time we've ever been told not to show up.
Correct. What a great show. Larry Fedora, Joy Lee McDellis, Patrick McGee.
It's the Eagle Hour, baby.
We got to talk men's basketball. Got the win last night.
Yeah, we hadn't forgotten about basketball. That's coming up next.
Southern Miss to the top.
New Orleans Saints taking on the Atlanta Falcons.
Ooh.
Sunday at 12. Maybe it'll be on CBS. I've had some issues sometimes getting Saints fans. No,
tomorrow.
Sunday. Yeah, Todd Monken's playing tomorrow. The Baltimore playing the Steelers. Kelly's matchup. Anyway, great show today. Go back and check it out on demand if you missed it. Larry Fedora, Joy Lee McNellis, Patrick McGee from NOLA.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, Southern Miss basketball.
Yay!
Evens it up.
Yeah.
Get their first Sun Belt win of the season last night. Georgia State and Southern Miss traded leads in the first few minutes of the game. Then the Eagles got the lead, never looked back. Georgia State put on a comeback down the stretch. Eagles held them off. They win 79-73, the first triple-double. And, guys, you should have seen Andre Curbelo and Austin Crowley in the press conference after the game when they found out that Jay Ladner was in high school the last time there had been a triple-double. Crowley's expression was priceless, and he said, "Please don't show my expression on television." It was hilarious. But Curbelo last night, this is the line for him in 29 minutes, 13 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. Crowley leads the way with 25 points. Owako and Victor Hart both with 10 points each. Golden Eagles needed that win last night.
Yeah, and let me say this real quick about Curbelo. I watched his interview last night on the post game of the ESPN Plus broadcast. The kid's very well spoken, handled himself very, very well. And I think watching that interview, I became a fan of his last night. He conducted himself with, I thought, a lot of dignity.
And maybe Crowley heard what we had to say yesterday and took it personally. I don't know. But, man, he had him a game last night.
It was the best game of the year.
And I'm telling you, that Panther team, that Georgia State team,
pretty good.
Quick, fast, athletic.
Big, tough, yeah.
Man, they're going to win some basketball games. So that was a big one, you know, last night. And even though, you know, the Eagles, for most of the night, maintained about a double-digit, you know, 10- or 11-point lead. Panthers are made it close late. But, look, tomorrow, now, there's no rest for the weary. And the best team in the league and ranked among the nation's best. People always talk about, oh, I'm not going to go, you know, I don't go to Southern Miss basketball games because there aren't any good teams that come in here. Well, guess what?
That's a good one. Luke, I'm happy about the win last night. Don't misunderstand. But I'd like to see Victor Hart more involved, get the ball a little bit more to him. And Kelly and I have been high all year on Montgomery, and we think he's just a great player. You can't have two players carry you all year, but would you agree Victor Hart can play a big role down the stretch? And,
yeah,
and we believe
started.
Montgomery.
He started, but he got in foul trouble. He ended up fouling out. 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. He played well, but he got in foul trouble early. He only played 20 minutes. So, you know, that was really the key for him last night. Kobe played 18 minutes, scored 7 points. The big stat for me, because we knew it going in, Georgia State shot 25% behind the three-point line. So that was big. For the Eagles to hold that. The rebounding was about the same. Eagles got rebounded 43-42. And Georgia State had 4 guys in double figures, which, you know, if you look at that offensively, you would say, okay, they spread the ball around a lot. Could have been, the Eagles actually, you know, defended better, and so the same guys were getting open shots. But what I'm thankful for is this is the type of line. You can't do a, you know, get a triple-double. If you get a couple once a season, it's great. But this is the type of line that Curbelo needs to have in order for the Golden Eagles to be successful. Scoring when he can. He took a lot of shots last night, but really working the ball and Crowley being the beneficiary.
And whenever they needed a big play, it was your guy, Bob, Mo Arnold, that came through.
I love Mo Arnold.
With a big, like, 3-point shot or something like that. It seemed like to me whenever the tide was turning, Mo Arnold got the Eagles back on track.
You don't want to see now that Curbelo's back. You don't want to see Mo get lost in the shuffle. And he didn't play as much last night as he has in some games. But when he was on the floor, he was Mo Arnold.
Played 27 minutes. He played. He and Owako were third in minutes behind Curbelo and Crowley. So, you know, I think that's key going forward. Yeah. Hey guys, about a minute left. When we wrap up here, I'm gonna walk across the street to First Baptist Laurel. One of my childhood baseball coaches, celebrating his life today, Leonard Bubba Busby, was a defensive back for Southern Miss, a two-year letterman in 78 and 79. And he passed away, had a stroke last year, but passed away in the last week. Coach Bauer is a pallbearer today. And so anyway, that guy meant a lot to me. A great Southern Miss Golden Eagle, and poured back into his community, into his church, and to the University of Circle of Champions member. And we're going to honor his life. A lot of the lessons that I learned in sports, I learned from Bubba Busby growing up at the baseball fields here in Laurel.
Yeah, well said. And our condolences to his family. And
on the video boards there, Luke, his name is at the bottom of them.
Yeah, he had U.S. Outdoor for a long time, and Busby Enterprises. They made a lot of the LED boards that you see in around the country. So a salute anytime we lose a guy too soon, and especially somebody pours into your life, but pours into the university. We want to remember him and his family today. Bubba Busby passing away just this past week at age 65.
All right, that wraps us up for this week. Luke's going to be out for a while. Kelly and I'll be around, and we may grab Luke by the collar or something and bring him in from time
PhD
to time.
PhD comp's coming up, guys. It's about to get real.
All right. Good luck to you, brother.
Appreciate it.
All right, that wraps up this week. We'll be back Monday. We hope you'll join us, and as always, we thank you for tuning in. Southern Miss.
To the top. 777 into the future.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.